Republicans in the Wisconsin state legislature introduced a new package of proposals last week aimed at addressing what's been called a child care crisis here in the state. This comes after the legislature had rejected Governor Evers' proposal to use state surplus funds to extend child care counts, a pandemic-era program set to expire early next year. Critics of the proposed package of legislation say it wouldn't do enough to address the concerns of families or child care providers who have been overwhelmed with demand as parents return to working in person after the peak of the pandemic. But the bill's authors say the solutions they're proposing should get bipartisan support. You can join in at 800-642-1234. As a parent, what are your experiences finding child care in Wisconsin? Did you find some? Was it affordable? Do you work as a child care provider? What kind of things would make the most difference for you in new child care legislation from the state? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Our next guests are Republican Assembly representatives and co-creators of these new proposals. Representative Joy Gobin represents District 5 in northeastern Wisconsin. Representative Gobin, welcome to Central Time.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
And Representative Karen Hurd represents District 68 just east of Eau Claire. Representative Hurd, thanks for joining us.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
There's a variety of things on the table here. Representative Gobin, first of all, can you talk about the parts of these proposals that would make childcare more accessible, that would change who can work, for example, in childcare, things like that?
Okay, well, my portion is I have five different bills. All of them are sort of geared toward accessibility. We have one bill has the state allows certified providers, but those certified providers are only being allowed to watch sort of half of what they do because half of their children that they can watch, they have up to six. Three of them can be related and three unrelated. And so this bill says they can watch six kids whether or not they are related. So it seems sort of common sense. Not sure why that was adopted to be as it is, but let's open up so that they can care for the full amount of children that their certification allows. We also have the creation of a new type of child care center, the large family child care center. I ran a family child care center. It's run in your home, and you can have up to eight children. But the large family center says I can have an employee, and now I can have up to 12 children in my home child care center. Both of those would allow for some increased spots for child care, which is a great way to do it. We also have a bill about assistant child care teachers that young people, 16, can now count in the ratios if they have the education requirements. So we're not just putting anybody in there. They need to be, they need to have the coursework in early child care so that they can count in the ratios. This is good for child care centers because, so for example, you could have an apprenticeship, which would be a 16-year-old, but a child care center isn't going to have an apprentice that doesn't count in their numbers because then they're paying someone to not help have more children. So that's another option there. Let's see, what else? We are adjusting the ratios slightly to try to make it allow more flexibility for centers in their ratios to create more spots, hopefully provide more income to child care workers.
And Representative Hurd, another piece on the table here is the idea of a loan fund for some local providers. What would we see there?
What we have is a 0% loan. So a child care center could apply for one of these 0% loans, and then it's a revolving loan. So if they pay it back, then we could offer the loan to others. We're going to put 60%, given that the bill goes through, of course, we're going to require 60% of the 15 million. So if 15 million is what we're allocating, that 60% would go to in-home providers and 40% going to the centers. That would mean 300 family in-home facilities could get a $30,000 0% interest loan. And 60 of the larger child care facilities could get $100,000 as 0% interest free loan. It's really would be great. So if you're thinking about, oh, I would like to, you know, have in my house a child care center, but I have to have a fence. Well, then you could use this 0% loan to get the fence and get that in, or whatever is needed to make your home a child care facility.
I want to ask each of you what you're hearing from constituents, those looking for child care, those providing it. Representative Gobin, as you talk to people, what are you hearing?
I'm hearing there is a need for help in creating sustainable child care. There are not enough slots. I just spoke to someone from my district who is a district administrator of the Hobart area, and he was talking to a child care provider who said they're going to go out of business. But the reasoning is a little different than what some people are talking about, and it has to do with 4K. So the 4K, which there's a school right near that area, and they aren't able to the 4K takes off the four-year-olds. That makes it a lot harder because of ratios for that provider to make a living. So she's concerned that her center isn't going to be able to stay open or sustain it if they, for example, take 3K. So there's a drought of childcare, and we need to find ways to make it more accessible.
And how about in your part of the state, Representative Hurd?
It's the same. That, you know, we're short, looking for slots for childcare. But these bills, I think, will really help out. As I've spoken to people in the area, they're very much excited about them. And they're not seeing as much of the child care closures as we thought that we were going to see. And so it's actually a very good thing. I think this is going to bring a lot of solutions to the people.
Representative Gobin, we've seen some criticism in the child care community and from your Democratic colleagues in the legislature that in effect, you're deregulating. You're changing the provider to kid ratio. You're loosening things up, and it's going to maybe threaten quality in childcare. What do you say to those concerns?
I think that's unfair. When we look at other states, we are in line with other states, and we've actually tried to find out, are these other states, you know, having issues in quality, and we don't see that. Also, something to consider is that no one is forcing a child care to change their ratios. It's an option for flexibility. So whether or not they have, depending on the type of quality employees that they have, maybe these ratio changes are going to be great. Maybe they need to hold, for whatever reasons, to the ratios that they have now. It's offering, we're trying to offer flexibility, and that's what I think these bills do.
And finally, Representative Hurd, I mentioned Governor Evers had proposed using state budget surplus funding to keep this federal thing going. Do you see maybe of the Child Care Counts program, do you see a way to meet halfway, do some of what he was hoping for in his initial budget, get some of what you and your colleagues are hoping for in this package of proposals?
Well, we had, you know, Governor Evers, we had put this child care renovations loan in the original budget, and then Governor Evers vetoed out that it wouldn't be a loan program. It would just be to a child care fund. So basically to backfill that child care counts program. But we're putting it back in the loan program because it'd actually be more helpful because it will give people more money. It keeps going back to the child care facilities. We don't run out of money and then, you know, we reach this cliff. We need to fix the whole broken system. This system in childcare, it was broken long, long before COVID. And, you know, I've got the data going way back into the 80s, how this all occurred. And just even in 2013, before COVID, I mean, they were losing 200 to 400 childcare facilities a year because the model's broken. And that's what these bills are trying to address, is to fix the broken childcare business model so that it can sustain itself and doesn't need to have subsidiaries from the government being handed out, because that's not sustainable and it doesn't fix the problem. It's just a band-aid to the problem, and we need to fix the cause.
We'll leave it there.
May I add to that?
Briefly, yes, go ahead.
Just a note that our budget did spend $93 million on child care. So there were increases in the SHARES program, reaching out to those who have affordability issues. So there is a considerable amount of money coming from the state to different programs for child care.
Right. And it was $93 million all new money this budget. Overall, total spend in this biennial budget is $960 million in child care.
Thanks to both of our guests. We've been talking to Republican Assembly Representative Joy Gobin and Karen Hurd about the new package of child care proposals introduced in the Wisconsin State Legislature. Our next guest is a Wisconsin expert in child care programs. Alejandra Ross-Pilars is assistant professor in the Sandra Rosenbaum School of Social Work at UW-Madison. Alejandra, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Alejandra, what are you seeing in the child care landscape? How big are the challenges?
Yeah, so as Representative Hurd said, the childcare system has been broken for many, many years, even before the pandemic. But the COVID pandemic really exacerbated already existing challenges. So let me explain. So on the one hand, many parents cannot access high quality early care and education. Even before the pandemic, there was a shortage of regulated childcare providers that parents could get to within a reasonable driving distance. But even when parents have childcare near their home, many can't afford the cost of it, which is as much as $13,500 per infant in a childcare center. And those who can afford the childcare are spending about 20% of their budget on average on childcare. So this puts a big strain on families' budgets. During the pandemic, we've seen childcare costs, especially in recent months, go up for families, and the price is rising more quickly than for other goods and services. So parents are having a hard time. And then the second key thing to know is that childcare workers are highly educated and highly trained workers, but are extremely undercompensated given their education and skills. So when the COVID pandemic started, many centers closed, family childcare providers closed, some permanently, some temporarily. Childcare workers, some of them lost their jobs, some of them went to work in other sectors for higher pay. So the childcare industry has not fully recovered. Even today, we're short about 40,000 workers compared to before the pandemic nationally. So part of the reason that the sector is struggling so much in retaining workers is because they are so undercompensated. So for example, in Wisconsin, childcare workers, most of them have more than a high school education, an associate's degree or bachelor's degree, but are making only $13 an hour. That's $3 less than the average worker with only a high school education. So they are extremely undercompensated, and that makes it really difficult to keep them in the sector when they can earn a higher wage in other industries. There's substantial turnover in the sector. It makes it difficult for childcare providers to staff their childcare centers and family childcare homes. So things are challenging as it is, and the Childcare Counts program really is keeping the sector afloat. This is funded with pandemic relief funds, which are set to expire in 2024. And so the concern is that things are already and sort of precarious in the sector as it is. And when those funds expire, childcare providers are using those funds right now to pay their workers more without raising prices for parents. And so when those funds expire, workers might leave for other sectors because compensation will go down, or providers will close, or parents will end up paying more for care. So those are sort of the current state of what's happening in the sector. And that's why we really need more investments of funding into the sector to fix the broken financing.
We're talking to Alejandra Ross-Pilars, assistant professor in the Sandra Rosenbaum School of Social Work at UW-Madison, looking at the challenges facing childcare here in the state, possible policy solutions. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about the legislation we heard from a pair of state lawmakers a little while ago? Do you work in childcare? What would help you the most if you're a parent having trouble finding childcare? You can get to or afford. Love to hear from you as well at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Alejandra Ross-Pilars, assistant professor of social work at UW-Madison, looking at the latest package of child care bills proposed by Republicans in the Wisconsin state legislature and how they fit into bigger trends we're seeing around the state. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Alejandra, picking up where you left off, child care costs a lot for parents. The people providing it don't make a lot of money doing it. Apart from putting state or federal money into it, are there changes that could make the industry more sustainable?
The key thing really is fixing this funding issue. And the research shows that what is effective for shoring up the childcare sector is one, increasing compensation for workers. So we have research that shows that providing financial incentives to stay in the sector, increasing compensation is going to reduce turnover and allow workers to stay in the sector and not leave for other higher paying jobs. And so right now, funding from childcare accounts is being used to allow childcare workers to receive a stipend of up to $1,900 per year. That would, you know, that's on top of what their wages are from their childcare center or family childcare home. And so that again would have to be reduced or go away entirely once the funding runs out. And so we know those things are really effective at reducing turnover, at keeping workers in the sector. And then the second key thing that we know from the research is that increasing funding for childcare, for example, through the childcare subsidy program, would have big effects on reducing out-of-pocket costs for parents, would increase employment among mothers, and would increase wages by providers for up to 30%. So those are the things that we know from the research that are effective at helping the childcare sector, you know, be stronger and have parents be able to access high quality care.
We got an email from Leah who writes, "My husband and I have been on wait lists since April, and we might get into full-time childcare by February of next year, which is causing lots of issues with our employment." This is in South Central Wisconsin, Leah writes. So not just unaffordable childcare, Alejandra, but not able to get into childcare, period. Do we have places in the state where even if you can't afford it, you can't find childcare?
Definitely. So, you know, the access to care really varies a lot across the state. What we know is that a number of slots per child is better in urban areas. So there's a 1.7 children per childcare slot in urban areas compared to about 3.4 in rural areas. So there are places in that it's a little bit easier. That said, it's much harder to find care for infants and toddlers. And part of the reason for that is it's more expensive. It's both for parents, but also for childcare centers to provide that care. And so they don't make as much, you know, per child, because you need small ratios in order for that care to be safe and high quality. And so finding infant and toddler care is a challenge across the state. We just heard that a lot from parents, and there are long wait lists, especially for those younger kids.
In that package of new legislation I was talking to state lawmakers about, they would change the standards, allow a little change to staff to student ratio that they say other states are already doing, making it easier for younger people to get involved in childcare. Do you think changes like that could help solve the problem?
Yeah, fundamentally, what we need is increased investment in the sector. It's hard to know exactly whether those what effects that those proposed changes would have. What we do know is that you know, it's unclear if providers would actually change their ratios to have more kids per staff. There are many centers are accredited by national organizations that have these lower ratios, and so increasing their ratios would put them out of accreditation. It might cause them to lose their quality rating in the Young Star system, which is the statewide system that provides ratings to childcare providers so that parents know what quality care they're getting. So if they increase their ratios, you know, they might not be able to, or they might face unintended consequences from that. The other key thing about that is that, you know, childcare workers, as I said, are already undercompensated. They experience high burnout. And so you would be adding more to their plate, having them care for more children, bigger group sizes. And so it's not clear that, you know, this might have, you know, an adverse effect on increasing turnover if workers are just burnt out and decide that, you know, if they're not getting more compensated more for doing more work, that they will, you know, just decide to leave for other higher paying jobs that are less burdensome.
Alejandra, we've talked about the impact on parents, the impact on childcare providers. How about kids? What do we know about access to quality childcare programs and what it means for kids as they grow up?
Yeah, thanks for asking that question. We know a good amount about this question. And so the research on this is very clear. There's a wealth of evidence that high quality and affordable early care and education promotes children's development. There's benefits both in the short term to their learning and, you know, in preschool, in kindergarten, in early years, and longer term, children who attend high quality early care education also do have a higher educational attainment. They more likely graduate college, they have higher earnings, and they're healthier as adults. So all of these things are, you know, obviously great benefits for kids, for them in the long run, but also for society, because society also reaps benefits from having a healthier and more educated workforce down the line. So this is really an area where we know if we make these investments when kids are young, we will reap the benefits down the line as a society. So it's really an issue that is important for all of us, not just those with young kids, but for everyone who will benefit from this down the road.
Alejandra, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Alejandra Ross-Pilars is an assistant professor in the Sandra Rosenbaum School of Social Work at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She joined us for a closer look at new legislation that proposes to address gaps in Wisconsin's child care system. Earlier, we heard from two state lawmakers, Joy Goban and Karen Hurd, both Republicans in the Assembly. They have a package of legislation aimed at tackling at least part of this problem. You can read more about that online at WPR.org. Our news team has been covering that. And if this is something that affects your life, there is still time for you to weigh in. You can email ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. Did you have success in finding childcare? Was it childcare you pay for or something you worked with a family member on, maybe? That's parents. How about caregivers? Do you work as a childcare provider or run some kind of childcare, big or small? Love to hear what you're seeing and what you think might help you and your situation. As always, you can email ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. Love to see your stories.